thank you. You are the hills upon which we look, and there comes our help. You are truly our habitation. Thank you. Our covering, our refuge, our fortress, our strength. We honor you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you. Thank you. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God is good. Presence. I want to thank God for my Zion family. Thank you. It's amazing what God has done, that we can worship, we can fellowship together regardless of the distance. Mm. But thank God for technology. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right now, our nation, the nations of the earth, is facing an amazing shaking. And it's amazing how true the Bible is, that there comes a time when we really realize that there is a God. And He is the Creator, the one who has made all things. And without Him, we are truly, truly nothing. But those who look to Him, He establishes them. So we thank God that you, wherever you are, wherever you're seated, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, I pray that you've already been blessed. You've already been inspired and encouraged by the amazing presence of God that we feel in this place. Amen. Amen. Today I want to join with the heart of so many across the nation, leaders, pastors, and various people who are truly right now consecrating days of fasting, days of prayer, days of seeking the Lord in response to the urgency, the crisis that is facing us today. Nobody would have expected that in such a very short moment, our lives and the life of the nation would be rearranged the way it is today. I don't need to go into the details. Of course, you hear the news almost every second, every day, and you're very much aware of what is going on right now across the nations. We thank God for His mercy. As we're talking now, so many ministries, so many denominations, so many networks are completely in a place of unity, in a place of prayer, seeking and crying for the mercy of God, seeking the face of the Lord. And we know God will respond in a time of need. In times like this, we need to hear from the Lord. We need understanding of what God is doing or what is happening in our time. So, beginning from this season, God has opened the door now for us to talk to you from the comfort of your home, from wherever you are located. We believe that in all things, God will be glorified. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that because of the saints, because of prayer, God will work all things for good. For those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. There is no surprise to God that we're going through this. But those who really covenant themselves to God, God will turn these situations around. There is nothing new that has not happened. It's just happening in our own time. And Joseph told his brothers, he says, what the devil meant for evil, God is turned for good. Amen?
Amen.
So God will turn this evil for his glory, for his good. So today I want to share briefly with you victory over fear.
Amen.
Amen.
Victory over fear.
Amen.
Now the reason I want to share this with you is fear can become far greater than even the virus we are dealing with at this point.
Yes.
Fear is the worst killer in a time of crisis. We need to really watch out for fear. I really believe because of the nature of the enemy that we're dealing with, Satan himself, I believe that he's using fear to terminate most people's life before their time. So we pray that by the inspiration of the Spirit, we must overcome the spirit of fear. Amen. I want to say a few things about fear before we get into this. When the children of Israel were coming out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, and they saw Pharaoh coming after them, and the Red Sea was before them, even after God has spoken to them to move in that direction, we see the power of fear because we're human. There was such fear that the children of Israel literally invited the spirit of death over them. Fear can expose you to an atmosphere of depression. When you're crying for death, you're opening the window for the enemy to even take advantage of you. That's what fear is. Thank God for people like Moses who had the ability to be sensitive to what God is saying. And God told him, just move on and lead the people through the way I'm going to make for you. God always have a way where there seems to be no way in the midst of fear. When they were going through that time of fear, it looks like there's no way out. But God made a way. And for the first time, God made a way through the Red Sea. Even in this situation, God already has plans. God will make a way for the nations.
Amen.
God will make a way for America.
Amen.
God will make a way for us.
Amen.
And that way and that answer is Jesus. He says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. That sounds very spiritual. But if we don't see this situation through the lenses of how God works, we will not even see the physical way he's making for us. God has a way already made.
Amen.
Now, another way you can see the power of fear as he magnifies himself. There was a prophet by the name of Elijah, a man that saw fire come down from heaven, a man that saw so many signs and wonders, miracles, in his time. But when he was threatened by the spirit of Jezebel, he was threatened by a spirit of fear. I want you to know very soon that fear also has its spirit with it. When he was threatened by the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of fear, this man in the book of 1 Kings 19, you can check it out in verse 3 to 4, he literally was in depression. And he started crying for death. He was crying, says, let me just die. I have served God, I've done my best. Now look at this. Let me just die. There is no more need. You can open the door for the spirit of fear and you give access to depression, oppression of the enemy. The symptoms can be nothing. The enemy can use the symptoms to bring fear. A lot of people today that we're hearing all over the world that are dying, I believe majority are because of fear.
For example, look at the virus. A lot of people have it, they don't know. It's been around unknowingly. Nothing has happened to the people. But the moment they become aware of it, it activates fear. And they start having nervous breakdown attacks. And even they don't allow the medication to have its effect. So fear opens the door for the enemy to strike with heart attacks, hypertension, all kinds of symptoms that the body will manifest when we are afraid. Now, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, Paul also encouraged, admonished one of his greatest disciples, Timothy. And he said to Timothy that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, a fearless mind. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, John wrote, he says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, trust out fear, overcomes fear, has victory over fear. Why? Because he says fear has torment. Every time all through scriptures, you see that, you see Jesus always telling people, fear not. When angels appear to people, they say, fear not. When people around, men, great men of God in the Bible, you hear the first thing they will say, under a very terrifying situation, they will say, fear not. So, let's look at a few things. It's easy to say, fear not. It's easy to be under very tough situations and not have that fear. But let's look at some ways that we overcome the spirit of fear. We have victory over the spirit of fear. Earlier, as we were praying today, one of our pastors said, the president said it's an invisible war. And that's true. So let's look at this situation. We'll open our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 8. I'm going to read real quickly. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are going to come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and set himself there, not once, not twice. Verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy chamber. And he, the king, said, go and spy where he is, that I may send out and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, to his master Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? What shall we do? Verse 16.
Elisha answered and said, the first words that came out of his mouth was, fear not, fear not, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Round about Elisha. Victory over fear. Victory over fear. The story that we just looked at in the Bible, this experience here, is similar to what we're going through today. Because if the president calls it an invisible war, and the whole mechanisms of America's force and power has been released to war against this virus, almost like a war atmosphere, then he's right. We're fighting an invisible war. But this war that we're fighting is invisible because it's a disease that has the capacity to spread so quickly, has the ability to paralyze people, and has the ability to kill. So because of the effectiveness of this invisible thing, it has released the spirit of fear. See, when an enemy wants to defeat you, the first thing they will do is to doubt you or create an atmosphere where you become paralyzed, where you're hypnotized or taken over by fear. The moment you fear your enemy, the moment you're intimidated, the moment you're overwhelmed by a situation, you don't give room for faith. You don't give room no more for God. You now open the door for the enemy to win. Fear opens the door for the enemy. The only platform that God wants is faith. So the devil knows if he can create an atmosphere of fear, he can easily remove the consciousness, the awareness of God in your mind. And once God leaves your mind, that situation will saturate you. That situation will overwhelm you. And before you know it, your life is destroyed. Now, why is it important that we are dealing with victory over fear? There's another scripture I want to share with you before we go a little bit further into the story of Israel. It's found in the book of Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6 to 7. The first thing Paul was warning the Philippian church was, he says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't let anxiety and fear overtake you. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and the peace of God, and the peace of God. Why is he saying that? Does it mean we're not human? Does it mean that we don't have fear? No. When we go through overwhelming situation, when we face through circumstances beyond our control, when we go through even outside of this coronavirus, situations ordinarily in life, we entertain fear. Our humanity is not capable of dealing with things that overwhelm us. So we fear and we start looking for solutions. And when those situations are seriously beyond our capacity, then we begin to even fear the more. So it's human nature to fear. And that's the reason why the only source of having severe victory over fear is the awareness of God, is the awareness of Christ, is the awareness of a greater power, a greater force, a greater means of solving the problem. The reason sometimes you're not aware of
fear the way we need to is because we have situations where we face, we have money to solve the problem. There are situations we face, we have medical capacity to solve the problem. There are situations we face, we find a way through man to solve the problem. So many times our fears are misdirected towards seeking help from man, seeking help in so many places. But there come situations where man cannot help. Man has lost the capacity for solution. And we begin to really face the reality that no one can help. Like most times we face situations with cancer or various other life-threatening situations. And then the kind of situation we're facing now, where we really see the government scrambling, obviously before the eyes of the whole world, seeking for solution. Not knowing where it will come from. Doing their best. It activates fear. And the reason for fear is usually when we have the absence of confidence in a bigger power, in something bigger than that which is threatening us. And that's the reason why Paul was speaking to the church of Philippians. He's saying to them, no matter what you face, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, God understands that there are situations that are above us, but He has given us promises. He's given us conditional, He's given us promises, He's given us His word that He will never leave us or forsake us. So in the time of trouble, in the time of distress, in the time of overwhelming situation, God, Paul is saying to the Philippian church, you don't have to fear. What you have to do is exchange the atmosphere for the presence of God. Seek God. Seek power that is greater than the situation. And there is only one that is greater than all situation. Only one that is greater and is able to solve our situation is the one that created it. And that's God. So when we become believers, when we become believers, we grow from faith to faith. And our faith develops as we learn to trust God in difficult times. Like in this situation now, if Paul was here, he would say the same thing. Exchange anxiety, exchange fear, convert it to seeking God, convert it to prayer. Paul guarantees you that when you press through in the story we just read was a situation that this man of God, great man of God, a prophet, Elisha, God uses him to reveal things. And the king of Syria now discovers that he has an enemy. The one who stops him from ruling over Israel or intimidating other people, revealing the secrets of his warfare, destroy this man. To take him out. That's a powerful, massive army. So when this army came, like we read here, they surrounded where he was. They compassed it, they surrounded, they besieged it. And the servant of this man of God, he's a Christian, he's a believer, he's a Jew. He came out very early in the morning, and the first thing he saw was he was surrounded by a massive army. And of course, it was clear the army was there for them because they were surrounded by it. Now, the reason I like the Word of God is the Word of God never diminishes the facts on ground. The Word of God actually makes the facts on ground very clear that it is dangerous, it is deadly, it is bad. So the Bible describes that situation very clear. There is no way out and their life is at stake. Very clear. So you never dispute facts. You never dispute physical problems. You never dispute what is all that the scientists and what we're facing on ground right now. But what makes the difference is when we share and begin to look at it from the eyes of faith. What is faith? When you begin to look at things
through the revelation of the presence of God and how God solves problems. So there are two people in this situation now. The servant of the man of God saw the reality, and what happened? Whenever a symptom comes, whenever a problem comes, what happens when it's, like I said earlier, when it's above us, the first thing that hits our flesh, our soul, our mind is fear. I'm going to die. This situation will destroy me. My life is gone. There is no solution. There is no medication. There is no way out. The government is, you just start rehearsing that symptoms, and you do it, and that thing becomes a mountain in your mind. No way, no medication, no vaccine, no this, no that. The news is pumping all the limitations, all the problems, and you're hearing people die of it. That's what the servant was facing. That's human, that's reality. But the reason I said earlier, the only way out is always God. Because with God, nothing is impossible. So now, when the servant said that out of fear, he saw the fear on him. And the servant of God looked, the man of God, Elisha, looked at the servant. They are standing on the same place. They are seeing the same physical enemy. Elijah was not ignorant of what physically the servant was seeing. But he looked at the problem, he looked at the servant, but he was seeing something else. He believed in what he was seeing that was invisible. And he told the servant, he says, fear not. Now, if you tell somebody fear not, and they are still seeing the problem, Pharaoh's army are still there, the Syrian's army are still there, the person who will believe you, because you're a man of God, the person who will listen to you, the person will be pacified a little bit, but as long as they are still seeing that thing, there's a tendency for that fear to remain.
Right.
You have to see something.
That's right.
For you to change your focus. So the man of God prayed and said, God, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see what I am seeing. My brothers and sisters, how can your eyes be open, physically open, and you're seeing problems, and you're seeing virus, you're seeing all these things, and you see people die, and they're telling you everywhere you go, you're hearing it, you're seeing it, you're feeling it. It's real. How can somebody say, I'm preaching to you and say, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. Of course. You hear the word, you understand, you say, okay, it sounds good. But there's something more than that. The only thing that drives fear far, that spirit far, is faith. And faith is the ability to see what God is saying about the situation.
Yeah.
The ability to understand from God's perspective what is happening.
Yeah.
From God's strength, how that situation will be solved. Mm-hmm. Not hearing, not just letter, but having revelation mm-hmm. of the situation mm-hmm. and what God is doing. Mm-hmm. So that's where Elisha was. So he said, he prayed for the servant. He said, God, open his spiritual eyes. He has seen physically, but open his spiritual eyes. Let him see. And when he opened his spiritual eyes, that's when the spirit of fear ran away. The situation is still on ground, but now the servant of God has now seen a power, a force, invisible, greater than what you see in the physical. When he saw that, fear ran away. Fear disappears. Let me give you an example. If you're having a severe problem to pay rent and you're struggling trying to pay rent and they're going to kick you out of your place and you're afraid, you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, and somebody you know around you that is rich, has money, comes to you and say, you know what, I will pay that rent, I will take care of it. That's when that fear leaves, because the solution has come. But you have the mind just said to you, I will take care of it. Why did the fear leave? Because you know that man is a rich man and is able to solve it even before you have the money. So faith is the ability to see things through God's eyes even though the problem is there. Why? Because when you see things God's way, then you are going to respond to that problem the right way. But if you don't see things God's way, and you don't see it from God's eyes and through the word of God by revelation, fear will cause you to always respond the way the enemy wants you to. But when you see it God's way, then you respond different from the expectations of the enemy. So that's why right now, a lot of people are responding out of fear, and they are vulnerable for this thing destroying their life when it's not supposed to. That's why in this hour of distress, in this time of trying, we were born for this moment. The church is here for this moment. And that's why the church, as I'm speaking to you, you should not in this season be like Elijah's servant. He's also a man of God. He's also a Jew. He has been. This is the time now for us to pray, God, open my eyes. Let me see what you're doing from the perspective of scripture. Let me understand the situation we are in your eyes. It's nothing new. So, another example I want to give to you to see things not just through the letter of the word, but through the word of God. Right now, everybody in the nation, whether Christians or not, are beginning to recognize, probably memorize Psalms 91.
Right.
Psalm 91 has become even a very popular scripture. Why? Because it's a clear demonstration of what God can do and what who God really is for those who trust Him in the time of trouble. That scripture can be read literally. Some people can memorize that, can say literally. But like that servant of Elijah, that doesn't mean fear will go away. Because if fear goes away, some of us will not be acting the way we're acting. Some of us will not be hiding the way we're hiding. Some of us will not be responding the way we're responding. In the time of distress, you will begin to find that there's a far difference between the letter of the word and the spirit of the word, the letter of the word and the revelation of the word and understanding of the word. In this season, our prayer is that Psalms 91 will not just be a letter.
Yes.
It will be a revelation.
Yes, that's good.
Amen?
That's good.
Let me give you an example where they say perfect love casts out fear. Because it's a revelation of the love of God. Let me give you an example of the love of God. What is love? If you have a girl, if you're married or dating a girl, you intend to marry a girl, your friend, and she's close to you, close to her. But as long as you're dating, she lives somewhere else, you live somewhere else. You're friends, but there is not a spot. Now, if crisis come at that moment, the tendency is that you might not stand for each other the way you ought to, because you're just friends and you can always think about, I have another friend, you know, I can go to somebody else. But it's a difference when this friendship leads to a covenant marriage. Now, what Psalm 91 is saying, a lot of people don't understand. When this covenant gets to the place where it's just dating, it's just past just saying hi to somebody, you've entered into a covenant relationship. They call it marriage. When you enter into that, something happens to that woman. That woman's name is changed. And that woman's name, she now starts answering your name.
What does name represent? It represents the head, represents your heritage, the very covenant from which you came. That woman now dies to that old line and now comes under your name. Your name is who you are, your covering. So one day that woman starts answering Keziah or being that. Not only that, she physically lives where she used to live and now come under the same roof with the man. So it's not spiritual, but physically she now lives under the same roof with you and they say you are married and answers your name. That's called covering. Psalms 91 is not a figment of imagination. It's the revelation. It's called tabernacle. It's the revelation of when you have entered into a place of trust in friendship and relationship with God, that without a doubt, God has become your covering, your father, everything to you. You've lost everything to a husband, surrendered, and now has inherited the husband's protection, the husband's provision, the husband's security, everything the husband is, maybe as a king. That's what Psalm 91 is saying. It's when you surrender completely and say, God, I'm yours, and you make God your all in all. So in this season, I pray that this revelation of this intimacy, this place of confidence, of relationship with God, will become a reality to you. Because under pressure, you know who you belong to. And you know who is your keeper. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
We are going to continue as Mount Zion. God has prepared us for this season. And I've been preparing for a long time. But I feel, as I've been speaking to you for quite a while now, our seasons of preparation is over. This is now time of our assignment. And the part of our assignment is to be an answer to the cry of our generation. And that's the direction we're moving. And the situation on ground will give us that privilege in many capacities. One, the first privilege he's giving us is to be the priest of our time, is to stand in the gap. And cry out for God's mercy across the world, across the nation. And then God churches are doing it. And then there will be other areas God will be leading us. I'll be sharing more of this as we enter this season proper. You know, so what it means that we have been called to serve our generation, especially in the time of crisis. Joseph did it, famous people in the Bible did it. We were created, we were born at this time of crisis. When there's crisis, we are not to fear, but we are to pray. We are to wait on God. We are to seek the face of God, and we are to receive God's solution to the generation. Also, we are to wisely be accountable and obedient to the government of the day. Romans 13 says the government is put in position as God's ministers. Amen? So, unless they differ from that, but we are to work wisely, because whatever the government is saying is for the benefit of many to be saved from something they might be ignorant of. But for those who know their God, as we are working in the natural, serving, we are now in this season to build such an aroma of incense of intercession for the salvation. Time. So fear not, you have God with you. And if God be for you, what can defeat you? What can be above you? I'm not just speaking words to you. God has healed you of things before. God has brought you from financial difficulty. God has done so many things. God brought us from darkness to light. He can also reveal himself as a father, a great deliverer in a time like this. As much as we have this physical reality, we must also let our faith tap into the reality of the God we serve in a time like this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest with you, this is the moment Mazan has been prepared for.
And this is the moment you have been prepared for. Together, we want to really hear God and do some amazing things. I'll be sharing more with you. And part of the strategy for this season is, beginning from tomorrow, when Zion is going to start activating on County MZTV, Smart Zion TV, online TV, and just like from this very Facebook, online Facebook you're watching today, we're going to start tomorrow, and we're going to start with every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, 3 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Mazzano TV is going to be called Hope Channel, MZTV Hope Channel. And on this channel, we are going to serve the capacity of what God gave to Israel in the book of 1 Chronicles 12:32. It said there was a tribe that God raised up, and that tribe was called the children of Issachar. And it says God empowered them with that spirit of understanding times and seasons, and to be able to guide and give understanding to the children of Israel so they know what to do, especially in uncertain times like this. So beginning from tomorrow, we are going to be sharing, giving understanding to the season, and giving consolation, comfort, strength, inspiration, hope in a time of crisis. So I encourage you, invite as many people as you can, encourage them to join us on Facebook, join us on this whole channel on that MZTV. And also every Sunday, we're going to start having our service this way, and we'll see where things are going. Amen? We'll share more with you from tomorrow, Wednesdays and Fridays. Give you proper understanding as we go on. What is going on, why are things happening, and where they're going. So you will be strengthened. You can be a blessing around the people in your house. Don't take advantage. Don't take this moment and just think it's the time to just sit down, cross your leg, and eat popcorn and watch next race from morning to night. It's a time those who truly understand what God is saying, they are sensitive to what God is calling them to do. Our nation needs you, and you have a place to play, in the place of prayer, and a place of encouraging people who are terrified about this season. Amen. Father, we thank you for this moment, and we thank you for what you are doing. We give you glory, we give you honor. Father, thank you that you said if you be for us, who can be against us. And you will never leave us, you never forsake us. Father, we pray that in this season, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I break and I come against the spirit of fear. Father, I thank you that your people will trust in you with all their hearts, and lean not unto their own understanding. And in all your ways in this season, will acknowledge your word. We'll pay attention to what you are saying and what your word says about times like this. Father, that your people will be empowered to give hope, strength to those around them. And give us wisdom, especially in a time like this. Father, we give you all the glory and honor that you are truly our refuge in a time like this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.